now in the month of December, and all across this great country, and really all across, you know, most of the world, the Christmas season has begun. In fact, for many, it began back in October. That just really gets me sometimes. You know, it shows you, you know, the marketing power that culture sometimes uses in manipulating society. It really does. You start seeing Christmas lights at the end of September and things in stores and Christmas music. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going all Scroogey on you up here, okay? But it's just like, wow. But I mean, it is in full swing now. You know, stores are decorated. You start seeing homes, you know, lights. And I love all that stuff and love to look and love to be a part. We even dabbled a little bit in the Black Friday thing the other day. And it was nuts, but ours was actually really good. God blessed us. People looked at us. It's so crazy because we were there, and we just got a couple things for, you know, a couple of our kids. It's really personally, but everything else was for our big duffel bag project that we're doing. And our cart was mounded. And when I say mounded, we were having to hold the top full of pajamas and socks, and people were looking at us. You need a pair of socks? you know, it was kind of funny, and you know, it was good. But I mean, Christmas, it's I love it. It's great. And it's just, you know, everything's big. Trees are going up. Temperature's colder. Sights, sounds, smells, everything says Christmas. We kind of get to this place, and you know, for many of you, this is your favorite time of year. You know, but for many of you, you know, it's just kind of tough. But, you know, for a lot of us, though, it's a great time. And we can't wait till that morning. You know, when the gifts are wrapped and, you know, the bows are all on, everything just looks great. And you know, right underneath the trees. And you know, actually, the true meaning of Christmas is about gifts. And I know we've kind of taken it a little bit farther, quite a bit farther than what it was intended to be. But Christmas is about a gift. And, you know, it's about the greatest gift. And I hope just right off the bat as we go into the season and we sit here and we think and we're reminded that it is about Christ. You know, Christ still is the center of Christmas, still is the focus of Christmas. And that's what it should be. No wrapping, no bows, no anything, just Jesus. The main thing, the whole point of this whole season. So for the next few weeks, we're going to look at this whole concept of the gift of Christmas, and we're going to look at a few specific gifts that were given to us through Christ, because we not only got Jesus, we got a lot of these other really cool gifts that come along with Jesus. Today, we're going to look at hope, the gift of hope. Next week, we're going to look at the gift of wisdom. Week three, a bunch of wild, crazy, rambunctious, Jesus-loving kids are going to help us look at the gift of love. And then on December the 22nd, we're going to look at the gift of joy. And it's going to be a very joyful morning, I can promise you. A lot of really neat stuff planned to just really magnify the name of Christ. But you know, these are gifts that we should all desire to have. There's a story of a self-made millionaire whose name is Eugene Land. And you know, this guy, Mr. Land, greatly changed the lives of a sixth grade class in East Harlem. Now, I've never been to Harlem, but you hear stories and things, and it's, you know, like I'm sure it's a very tough place to grow up, okay, and tough as far as, you know, a lot of things. And so this millionaire, this guy had everything. He had been asked to speak to a class of 59 sixth graders at a middle school there in Harlem. And what could he say to inspire these students, most of whom would drop out of school? So scrapping all of his notes and everything that he had intended to say, he decided to speak to them from his heart, and this was his message: stay in school. He went into that class with a very simple message that I'm sure these sixth graders had already heard multiple times in their life. But he said, stay in school. And he said, if you'll stay in school, he said, I will pay for your college education when you graduate. Now, that's a pretty big deal. 59 students, 59 college educations. Think about that. That adds up just a little bit. But at that moment, the lives of these 59 students were changed. for the first time, they had hope. Because in the culture and society that they lived in, there wasn't a lot of hope. Very perverse, didn't have a whole lot of things. I mean, just a lot of tough stuff, tough life stuff. But right there, they had hope. And one student said this, I had something to look forward to, something waiting on me. It was a golden feeling. Nearly 90% of those 59 graduated and went on to college. They had something to hope for. Hope is a big deal. It's an amazing thing. It can transform a life from meaningless into a life that's full of purpose and direction. The definition of hope is, as we see it in good old Mr. Dictionary, means to wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. To wish for something with an expectation of fulfillment. Okay, so let's grab a hold. We're expecting what we're wishing for to be fulfilled. And our world has been filled with so many wonderful things that God created. I think that we can all vouch for that and say that, but our world has also been filled with sin and darkness. Because see, when Adam and Eve were here, you know, and they were the only ones here and they sinned, you know, it kind of started this whole snowball thing as sin entered the world and darkness entered the world. And so it just kind of messed everything up. It just got really chaotic and it stayed chaotic, you know, throughout all of history. And this darkness continued and continued for years and years and years. But God's people had hope. Even after this fact, even after the very first sin, even after darkness entered this world because of it, there was hope. God's people had hope. A hope of something different, a hope of a Savior, a hope of light in this darkness. They wished for these things and they had an expectation of its fulfillment. I want to read just a few scriptures to you out of the book of Isaiah. And it's in chapter 9. And this begins the prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. And so it writes here in verse 2, it says, the people walking in darkness had seen a great light. Now remember, this is prophetic. Okay? This is prophetic. They're speaking of this prophecy of this child. So the people walking in darkness, having seen a great light, on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And let's go ahead and skip down to verse 6 and 7, and it says this, For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Those lungs came from me, and they're good, aren't they? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Everybody say will. Will. Amen. They had a hope of a Savior, and they expected that fulfillment. It wasn't just some wild wish that was out there somewhere racing around in their mind. The Bible says that this is the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. They had an expectation of the fulfillment of their hope. It wasn't blank. It wasn't bland. The Lord will do this. And they had placed their hope in a promise from God. Listen, God's word is true. This prophecy is true. We know that it's true because it came. I mean, it's the real deal. It's fine. And unlike other Christmas stories, such as, say, Rudolph or Frosty, the Snowman, or maybe even the Grinch, even though there's some real live Grinches, they may not be green, but unfortunately, sometimes we ruin a lot of things because of attitude. There's a pretty good message in that old Christmas Jim Carrey movie. That if you would sit down and watch and really read between some lines, sometimes we're bypassing the blessings. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to hit it just really quick. If you're not looking for the blessings, you'll never see them. You won't see them. And sometimes it's so easy to get caught up on the negative and caught up on the have-nots and caught up on all this other stuff that it kind of grinches our attitude a little bit. Of course, when the Grinch's eyes were opened, he saw that there were a lot of blessings in front of him. And he began to share those. Blessed to be a blessing, okay? But listen, this story is true. Enough Grinch. God sent Jesus to be born for the purpose of dying for our sin so we don't have to. What greater gift can be given than that? I don't know of one. Instead of living in the darkness of sin, confusion, and being lost, God provided light in the darkness and gave us hope through Jesus. So, through that gift, we were given the hope of life with Jesus, both here on earth and, most importantly, eternally. I want to jump over to the book of Romans really quick and just read a couple verses to you out of chapter 8. In verse 24, it says this, "For in this hope we were saved," talking about Christ, "but hope that is seen is no hope at all." Now, I really want you to get this really quick. "But hope that is seen is no hope at all." Who hopes for what they already have? Think about that. Who hopes for what they already have? "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." You wait for it patiently. Listen, if you've already got something, what's the reason of wanting it? True hope requires faith. True hope requires trust. True hope means that you're waiting for something expectantly to be fulfilled in your life. It hasn't happened yet. And the people in Isaiah 9, they had this hope for a Savior. But listen to this. In studying this week and kind of looking at this, and this is really, when the prophecy was written and given in Isaiah 9, it was right at 700 years until that hope became real. It was right at 700 years before Jesus was born. That, to me, is pretty incredible, because even those people that died during that time, they clung on to that hope and they passed that hope on. That hope continued because of people grabbing a hold of that hope and then in turn sharing that hope with somebody else. Otherwise, I mean it just continued and continued. They didn't keep it for themselves. And then it happened. And you know, hope sometimes is hard to keep. Would you agree? I think most of us would agree. Sometimes hope is just, it's hard to hang on to. Things happen in life. Tragedies happen in life. Big, you know, hiccups happen in life. And, you know, when we're cruising along, we think everything's going really good and really, really smooth. And man, you're just, you know, you can hope for anything because you're starting to see some things. And you know, the things that you're wanting fulfilled, you have this expectation because things are being fulfilled. And then all of a sudden, this big crash happens or this big life moment shows up in your life. And it just seems like your hope is just shattered. And it seems like once you've lost it, it's harder to grab back a hold of. Sometimes we wish for something or pray for something and we just don't see it, and we don't see it happen for a while, and it's real easy to give up, especially during those circumstances. But hope in what we don't or can't see is tough. That hope in what we don't or can't see is just really hard to grab a hold of. Think about these people maintaining their hope for 700 years. And you know what? I'm going to show you here in God's Word where I'll show you that they did. And if you flip over to what is the beginning of the Christmas story in Luke, so we've gone from Isaiah, flip 700 years later to the book of Luke. It's a third book in the New Testament. And flip over there and look at this, and I'll show you that hope had maintained, and you know, through all of this time. And if I get to the right book, here we go. In verse 39, it says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home." Now, the Mary we're talking about is the mother of Christ. "And she entered the home and Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." Elizabeth, of course, being the mother of John the Baptist, or soon to be. "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" Why was she so favored that the mother of her Lord should come to her? Listen, why do you, I mean, think about this. 700 years, and there was still an expectant hope of a Savior and a Messiah to come and bring light into the darkness, and it is showing itself right here. And Elizabeth, we don't go back into a lot of history as far as the Bible says, and a lot of, you know, the way that she was and all these other things, but right here, you can see that this lady had grabbed a hold of the hope that had been started 700 years before her, and she had done that greatly because somebody decided to share the gift of hope with somebody else. That hope was still alive, and it's alive because it had been given to others. Hope is an amazing gift. The hope given to us through Jesus for life with him here and life with him eternally is amazing. But let's go back to our verse in Acts chapter 20. And the words of Jesus say in verse 35 that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So think about this. It's more blessed to give the hope of Jesus away than it was to actually receive it for ourselves. Now, when I say that, even right now, I step back and go, wait a minute. My man, the hope of Jesus in my life is a big deal. Sure, it's a big deal. It's a big deal in your life. But how big of a deal would that be in somebody's life that hasn't yet discovered the hope of Christ? And how will they know if we don't share it? How will somebody know if you don't share it? God's given us the greatest gift that he could give us, all for the purpose of going and sharing about it. In fact, the Great Commission is all about this. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go and share about Christ. There are people in your family right now. There are people, there are friends in this community right now that you know. Right now. There are people, maybe even in this church today, that your hope is shaken. That something has happened or is happening. There is something from your past. There is something from today. It could be whatever, but your hope is shaken. Some of you may be hanging on just by a little thread. Some of you, maybe the hope is actually gone. And I want to speak to those of you just for a second because I want to challenge you to look at what your hope is placed in. And this really works for the hope that we give away too, because if our hope is placed in something that fades away and that falls away, then that's what we're going to share. The world offers a lot of things to place our hope in. A good job, good finances, a good education. And none of these things are bad, and none of these things are wrong, and in no way am I sitting here saying, you know, don't try to achieve the best you can, have the best job you can, make the most money you can, get the best education you can. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on and on. These things that we could place our hope in. But if our hope is not placed in Jesus, remember the Bible says that all of this other stuff's going to fade away, but Jesus won't. It is the hope that lasts forever, the hope that is secure, the hope that is solid as the rock, the hope that you can stand on, the hope that you can build your life on. And it is also that same hope that we need to be giving away to the people that we love, to the people that maybe we don't, to the best of friends, to the worst of enemies, to the total stranger walking down the street. They all deserve to know this hope, to experience this hope, and then to have the opportunity not only to embrace it, but then in turn to share this gift and give it away. If you're struggling today, I just ask you just really quick, just to look inside. Maybe just a little bit of a diversion has caused a little bit of that hope in Jesus to maybe grabbing a hold of something over here, grabbing a hold of something over here. And I just want to, listen, all this stuff over here is part of life and that's great. But let go of all that stuff and grab a hold of Jesus. That's the hope that is above all hopes. Now, to all of us, as we go through this series called The Gift, we're going to look at these gifts given to us by God through Jesus. But to truly follow Jesus' example, then we have to begin to think it is more blessed to give than to receive. As I talked about last week, as we head into Project 125, and as we look at this aspect of this verse, we're going to focus on this, impacting one life a day for 25 days. One life a day. Now, you know, the big whole kicker behind a lot of this right here is this. And it's just only use money when you have to. You know, we talk about, you know, being God's word, being the Bible to other people, but only sharing words, you know, when necessary. You know, being the example of Jesus and all that. You know, and so this is kind of this whole thing. Impacting one life a day for 25 days, only using money when necessary. Now, there will be times that you will need to use money. There'll be opportunities where that opportunity to bless with money will be there. And by all means, we listen to God and we do it. But there are more ways to give this gift, whether it's the gift of hope or anything else, than just money. Because the hope is found in Christ. So when you think about giving the gift of hope, you're giving the gift of Jesus. I mean, let's grab a hold of this whole concept. Giving the gift of hope, wisdom, love, joy, whatever it is, it all goes back to giving the gift of Christ. So how do we do this? Okay, we made these really neat little handout calendars, and as soon as service is over with this morning, there'll be some guys standing at the door, and we've got a couple different sizes for you. We've got this legal size that'll fit really good and great on your refrigerator. We've also got some smaller ones that'll fold up, and you can put in your Bible or in a book or in your purse or wherever on your desk, and you know, however you can have whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But these are really kind of cool. These are just reminders that we look at every single day. And they run from today till December the 25th, okay? And impacting one life a day for 25 days. And we've even put a few examples, you know, on here to kind of get you started and maybe get you thinking out of the box, you know, just a little bit. And you know, because this whole thing, you're going to be challenged to open your heart and your eyes to some things maybe that you never have before, to some situations and circumstances maybe that you, because of busyness or because of life or just whatever reason, we haven't stopped long enough to see and to look at. And you know, what really got me to thinking a lot about this is, in those of you that are on my mother's Facebook page and have my mother as your friend, she takes some of the most amazing pictures of anybody that I've ever seen. She's just phenomenal. You know why? Because she is purposely looking for things that most people wouldn't. It's just like yesterday. Did you see the picture of the sun dog that she took? She's out there looking for that stuff. She wants to see God's blessings, and then she wants to share them. She sees them as a gift that is given to her by God, always has. She's always seen that stuff. I can remember after my sister passed away, and she began to look for these little moments and these little things, and she said, there's my gift. There's my blessing from God today. She would call us and tell us, I got a blessing today. I'm sure she's had many that she's never shared. But it has started this thing in looking for God's blessings, looking for these specific things, and then sharing them. And they're so cool. But she would miss that stuff if she wasn't looking for it, if her eyes weren't open to it, if her heart wasn't open to it, for seeing it as what it is. And they are blessings. And the same thing goes with us. We have countless opportunities every single day. And God forgive me, because I get busy too. We have countless opportunities to impact people's lives for Jesus that pass us by every single day. Think about that. We're sitting here blessed with the greatest of gifts in Christ, in the hope that we have through Him. So, shouldn't we give it off? Give it away? Take it, give it to somebody else. A few things, just a few ideas that we put on here that was, you know, really kind of cool. And, you know, visit a nursing home. Go see, even if you don't know them. Go visit a neighbor that maybe you don't see every day. Maybe you haven't made yourself acquainted to, you know, or introduced yourself to. Send a card, a personal letter of encouragement. Invite a family you don't know very well to your home for dinner. That takes a lot of, well, I don't know about that. Listen, that used to happen. Of course, I know today's time is different than it was 50, 60, 70 years ago. But you're still investing in people's lives. Take your old stuffed animals that are in a trash bag somewhere in storage and clean them up and give them to Baca and let them give them to little kids. Don't cost a dime. And you're putting a smile on somebody's face. There's a few other things. Call someone and just listen. No texting. Now, you can still send texts, but call. Let them hear your voice and then listen. Just listen. Help a neighbor with their yard work. Babysit for a single mom. Give something away that you really like. Do something nice for your local law enforcement. I still have a pretty good heart tug towards that. They never get the good stuff. They never hear the thank yous very often. Now, sometimes they do. It's taken for granted, and then, and it don't have to be much. Just a pat on their back. Even if you don't always agree with what happens and decisions that happen, there's still people that put their life on the line every single day. I'd say the least we could give them is a thank you. Doesn't cost anything to give that smile. A homemade meal taken to a family for no other reason, just to say that you're special. Donating supplies and clothes to local babies and families through Options. Sending an encouraging letter to an inmate, even if you don't know them. Sometimes they're the most overlooked people in society. Do you know that? Now, I'm not discounting some of the reasons that they're there. But sometimes they need encouraged. Sharing the gift of hope, and most importantly, the gift of Jesus. And all of these ways that I just said are sharing Jesus with people, and I can prove it to you. In the book of Matthew, the words of Jesus, red letters, starting in verse 35 of chapter 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You did for me. When we're reaching out to people and impacting those lives, we are sharing the hope of Christ to them. Think out of the box. And we're going to have to. 25 days of impacting lives. Some of it you're going to think of and you're going to have it ready to go. And then there's going to be some days that you're just going to have to be, it's just not coming to you. And that's the days that you've got to walk outside and you've got to just say, God, just show me. And then when he speaks, you don't question it, but you act. And it could be something so simple. You could be walking out of Walmart and watching somebody pushing a big, huge cart of groceries down the parking lot and just very simply just walk over and say, hey, can I help you unload these? I could continue to give you these ideas and give you these thoughts, but it all comes down to us being open to what God speaks right then. And then acting on it, and then sharing the gift that God has given you. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Impacting one life a day for 25 days. Now I'm going to share just really quickly, just a couple of big things that our church is doing that we would love for you to get involved in and be a part of. I shared the one about trend at school. You know, the gloves and the hats and the scarves and being able to put these, to provide warmth in this cold season for our young kids and some families that need it this Christmas. Great opportunity, and it's not that expensive. It's really not. You may even have some at home that are in really, really, really good condition that you wouldn't care to part with. It's a way for you to impact a life, and you're impacting lives that most of you probably don't even know, but you're still sharing Jesus. I talked a little bit last week about our duffel bag project with our foster kids. You realize in the three-county area, in Ozark County, Douglas County, and Wright County right now, there's over 170 kids in foster care. Now, for a lot of people that have not been exposed to a lot of that, you know, sometimes it's easy to, and it's not that you're not compassionate and don't care, but it's really easy not to really grasp, you know, and you guys know our story. LaVeya was just as much a part of your life as she was a part of ours. That really opened our hearts and our eyes up to this whole big thing. And listen, these are kids that, a lot of these kids, they are starving for something to hope for that's real. Starving for it. Somebody to care and somebody to get involved in their life. And something as simple as a duffel bag with their name on it, it's theirs, full of simple things like PJs and socks and underwear and toothbrushes or toothpaste or an encouraging letter or whatever. Investing in their life, making an impact. And you say, well, that is Jesus. If you don't think that that's sharing Jesus, go back to Matthew 25 and read those red letters again. Because when you do unto one of the least of these brothers and sisters, and when you invest in the lives of people that need it, you are investing Jesus. I hope I can't walk into my office in a couple of weeks. I hope it's packed to my head from wall to wall, door to door. And we've had people get involved in that. I told you, I shared a couple weeks ago. We have a couple that was impacted. Listen, they're not even from this community. Wrote us a $10,000 check to invest in these young lives because they believe in sharing hope. Another business that wrote us a check, and other people that are getting involved. The one ministry, the offering from that is going to the duffel bag project so we can pack this stuff full and we can give these kids something to smile about and a hope to grab a hold of. You can get involved too. You can invest in this. You can invest in this. God speaks to you. Don't just step back and go, well, I don't know. You know, don't, and you know, and maybe it's not a lot. You say, well, $5 doesn't go very far. Whatever. It goes a long way when you're talking about investing and impacting these kids. It's such a big deal. Such a big deal. We're feeding Christmas dinner to the inmates and our law enforcement. We're going to invest in their life. And we're going to do it right. If you ate good on Thanksgiving, you prepared the best for them, then we're going to give you the opportunity to prepare the best for somebody else and to share Jesus in a meal, in food. I'm excited about that. I'm excited. We want you to take these calendars. We want you to put it somewhere where you'll see it every day and be reminded every day, every single day, one life a day for 25 days. And then we want you to share your stories. Later today, there'll be a Facebook page up in 125, specifically for 125. I'll have it linked to our Crosspoint page. I'll have it linked to my page, Lacey's page. If I share it, you share it. And this big kicker with this, I don't want this to stay in Ava. I want this to go as far as it'll go. Wouldn't you want the impact of Christ in somebody's life? If you know people, and listen, if you're not Facebook people, then I'm going to, there's other ways, but I want to know your story. Now, don't share names. I don't want to hear nobody's name. I don't want to hear anything of the sort. Because and listen, this isn't about making you big. This is about making Jesus big. But I want to hear testimonies. I want to see them of the lives that are being impacted. You know why? Because you're sharing hope. And when somebody else sees the story of hope, it may provide hope. It may provide that spark for them to step out and really get involved in 125. And we want to see that. We want to share that. We want to make Jesus as big as we possibly can. This has nothing to do with our church. This has nothing to do with me, and it has nothing to do with you. This has everything to do with Christ. Now, if you're not a Facebook person, and that's just not you, then send me an email. Call me on the phone. Come by the church. Write me a letter. Send me a text. Let me know. Let my wife know. Let Christina know. Let Buffy know. Let somebody know. These are testimonies of the goodness of Jesus and how it is he is impacting people in our community. Sharing hope, sharing wisdom, sharing love, sharing joy, sharing Jesus. And this will, I promise you, this will bring life to people that right now during this season may not be experiencing life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You've been given the gift of hope through Jesus. Share it. Be unique. Open your eyes. Look for opportunities that others may overlook. Help someone unload their groceries. Help somebody across the street. Cut someone a load of wood. Maybe you know somebody that's burning wood, and you know, and you've got a split and maul and a chainsaw or a wood splitter. Cheaters. I'm just teasing. Something simple. Give somebody an encouraging message. Buy somebody a pop from Sonic during Sonic happy hour. Just go buy them a pop. Man, I'm just thinking about you today. Have a good day. Go to the drugstore and buy them a 5-cent scoop of ice cream. Say, Pastor Ron, that's just a nickel. Oh, but that smile is worth more than the price you can put on it. All these different things. You could be the reason someone hangs on to their hope this season. You could be a part of them placing their hope in Jesus. You have no idea what's going on in their life. None. We see the outside, but we very seldom see the inside. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you're here this morning, and it's you whose hope is thin or maybe non-existent, maybe that's you. Maybe it's not somebody outside of these walls. Maybe it's you whose life may be turned upside down, you know, during this time. And when life is supposed to be great, it's not. And I want to challenge you this morning not to lose hope. In Job chapter 11, verse 18, he says, "You will be secure because there is hope." Now, this is coming from a man who had everything taken away. If you've never read the book of Job and you think that sometimes we have it bad, go read his life. It is a picture of a lot of tragedy that many of you have experienced, you know, and a lot of us in different ways, but it's tough. And even in his tragedy, he lost his family, he lost his everything that he had, but yet he still said, "You will be secure because why? There is hope." Proverbs 23:18 says, "There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." When your hope is placed in God, when your hope is placed in Christ, it is secure. Lamentations 3:21-22. Yet I call this mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And then, of course, maybe the greatest verse in the Bible on hope, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." God knows. "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord." God knows your life. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situations. But he still has a plan to prosper you and to not harm you. And plans to give you hope and a future. So if that is you this morning and you hang on with everything that you have, Jesus is worth hanging on to. Jesus is worth hanging on to. And then for all of us, we have a wonderful gift to give away. It's Jesus. But make sure that what we're giving matches who we're giving. Make sure what we're giving matches who we're giving. Jesus gave everything. Are we? For us to give everything, he must be everything in our life. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. God, you're so good and so awesome. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your gift of Jesus, and thank you for all that you do. If you're here this morning, maybe you are one of those that hope is just not a word that's in your life right now. And maybe you've never tried placing your hope, this expectation of fulfillment in your life in Jesus. Or maybe somewhere down the road that hope has been misconstrued and for whatever reason, for whatever circumstance, and I'm not putting the circumstance that you're going through down in your life because those are real. But just as Job said, there is a hope. And if that's you here this morning, I just challenge you this morning to put your hope in Christ. Completely, everything, fully, 100%. And if that's you today and you know that that's you, would you just wave at me and say, yeah, that's me. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see it. Anybody else? For those couple hands that were raised, and maybe for those of you that really wanted to, number one, this is serious, you know. I mean, it is a big deal. But it's not hard, at least to begin it. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that living life for Jesus and putting your hope in Christ, there's not going to be difficult times, but just be real with God right now. No games. No made-up prayers, no nothing but real inside of your heart. Ask Him to forgive you for mistakes that maybe you've made, for sins that maybe are in your life. Speak to Him one-on-one, just like I'm speaking to you. Tell Him you believe in Him. Ask Him. Just say, God, I put my hope in You. He'll be your Savior, your best friend. He'll walk with you, talk with you, never leave you, never forsake you. And then sometime this morning, tell somebody. Tell somebody. I don't care if this is the first time or the 500th time that you've had to make this commitment. Tell somebody. Solidify it. Now, for the rest of us this morning, I really want us to begin to pray, God. Actually, this is all of us. God, You've given me a great gift. And God, I really would like the opportunity to share this gift. So Lord, for the next few days, would You please give me the opportunity? Would You open my eyes to things maybe, God, that I have never seen before? To opportunities, God, to impact people in Your name? And then, God, would You challenge us to not hesitate, but to act immediately in sharing this wonderful gift. And God, may we share it, every part, everything, not holding anything back. And God, I believe this. I believe that lives will be impacted and that lives will be eternally changed because of the gift of Jesus. So God, open our eyes, open our hearts, and Jesus, we love You. In Your name I pray.